Welcome, everybody, to our Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne Zupko, and with me today is Susan Coble, and we will be leading the group today. And as usual, just a reminder about mute. If you need to mute yourself, you can press star 6 and then unmute yourself again by pressing star 6 again. So as we usually do, let's begin with a short meditation. So just coming to a position that feels comfortable for you, allowing the eyes to close if you prefer, and turning within. Getting connected to a sense of trust that your mind knows where to go. Your mind knows how to connect with that deeper part of you. We get past that initial churning on the surface of the mind. And saying to yourself one of the lessons in the Course has a sentence that says, "My real thoughts are in my mind, and I would like to find them." So just simply saying that to yourself, "My real thoughts are in my mind and I would like to find them." And with that willingness to go there, just spending the next few moments together in silence. And inviting the Holy Spirit in. This holy instant would we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. And if we need a word, he will give it to us. If we need a thought, that will he also give. And if we need but stillness and a tranquil open mind, these are the gifts I will receive, we will receive of him. The Holy Spirit is in charge by our request. So taking a few breaths, a few mindful breaths, and with the love in your heart and light in your mind, coming together to our perception of this time and place. Okay, so again, welcome everybody, and we are in the Manual for Teachers, and we will pick up on section 21. What is the role of words in healing? So I'll just give you a moment to get there. Again, all the way in the back of the book, in the Manual for Teachers, number 21, what is the role of words in healing? And I do want to say, too, Susan and I were talking about this before the call begins, that we want to be flexible. So if something comes up as we're reading and you have a question or a comment and want to share right away, that's completely fine. We don't have to wait till the end. All right, so I'll begin. What is the role of words in healing? Strictly speaking, words play no part at all in healing. The motivating factor is prayer or asking. What you ask for, you receive. But this refers to the prayer of the heart, not to the words you use in praying. Sometimes the words and the prayer are contradictory. Sometimes they agree. It does not matter. God does not understand words, for they were made by separated minds to keep them in the illusion of separation. Words can be helpful, particularly for the beginner, in helping concentration and facilitating the exclusion, or at least the control, of extraneous thoughts. Let us not forget, however, that words are but symbols of symbols. They are thus twice removed from reality.
As symbols, words have quite specific references. Even when they seem most abstract, the picture that comes to mind is apt to be very concrete. Unless a specific referent does occur to the mind in conjunction with the word has little or no practical meaning and thus cannot help the healing process. The prayer of the heart does not really ask for concrete things. It always requests some kind of experience, the specific things asked for being the bringers of the desired experience in the judgment of the asker. The words, then, are symbols for the things asked for, but the things themselves but stand for the experiences which are hoped for.
The prayer for things of this world will bring experiences of this world. If the prayer of the heart asks for this, this will be given because this will be received. It is impossible that the prayer of the heart remain unanswered in the perception of the one who asks. If he asks for the impossible, if he wants what does not exist or seeks for illusions in his heart, all this becomes his own. The power of his decision offers it to him as he requests. Herein lie hell and heaven. The sleeping Son of God has but this power left to him. It is enough. His words do not matter. Only the word of God has any meaning because it symbolizes that which has no human symbols at all. The Holy Spirit alone understands what this word stands for, and this too is enough.
Is the teacher of God then to avoid the use of words in his teaching? No, indeed. There are many who must be reached through words, being as yet unable to hear in silence. The teacher of God must, however, learn to use words in a new way. Gradually he learns how to let his words be chosen for him by ceasing to decide for himself what he will say. This process is merely a special case of the workbook lesson, I will step back and let him lead the way. The teacher of God accepts the words which are offered him and gives as he receives. He does not control the direction of his speaking. He listens and hears and speaks.
A major hindrance in this aspect of his learning is the teacher of God's fear about the validity of what he hears. And what he hears may indeed be quite startling. It may also seem to be quite irrelevant to the presented problem as he perceives it, and may, in fact, confront the teacher with a situation that appears to be very embarrassing to him. All these are judgments that have no value. They are his own, coming from a shabby self-perception which he would leave behind. Judge not the words that come to you, but offer them in confidence. They are far wiser than your own. God's teachers have God's word behind their symbols, and he himself gives to the words they use. I'm going to read that again. And he himself gives to the words they use the power of his spirit, raising them from meaningless symbols to the call of heaven itself. Okay, so let's stop there and talk about that.
I find this a very interesting part because there is a constant challenge of the ego always speaks first and speaks loudest. And I know, you know, the way I've always operated is I would love to jump in there and fix it for someone, and it's very hard not to want to continue to do that. Having to take that step back, even if it is just a fraction of an instant, and listen, you know, takes practice, but it's well worth the effort, as I've been shown.
Yeah, I really, this section just really strikes me because, I mean, the first sentence, strictly speaking, words play no part at all in healing. It's prayer is the motivating factor, and it's talking about the prayers of the heart, not the words that we use in praying. And so if we're asking for, you know, things of this world, that's exactly what we're going to get, or things of this world. But if we're asking for experiences of God, that's where the miracles come in, the truth comes in, right? So I really like that, how it's saying it's not the words that we're using, but it's the prayers of our heart that we're making, and that we are answered and get what we call forth.
What
whether
would be
that's,
an example
like it says,
of that?
An example the example of asking for things of the world would be, and again, this is where the ego is so insidious. God, if only I had, and then fill in the blank, if only I had, you know, the right relationship, if only I had, you know, a secure job, if only I had all my needs met, then I could be happy. And, you know, so there's the prayer for things of the world. That book, The Secret, was very big on, you know, the manifesting of things of the world.
And
the Course more or less indicates that you will, in your own perception, because here the truth is different for everyone, so you will get what you ask for, but most of us really aren't clear on even what we think we want, and therefore what we get isn't necessarily, you know, the exact, you know, if you keep saying, oh, you know, I want a red Ford, I want a red Ford, and you end up, you know, getting another car that somebody gives to you, you know, you'll be disappointed because it isn't the red Ford you wanted, but you'll overlook the gift that, you know, somebody gave you a car. When you ask, if you look at the, I don't know if all of you have read the Song of Prayer, but it's an absolutely beautiful, moving section. You can go online and read it. I think Corinne has the...
Is it online? I actually haven't... I'll have to look specifically if it is, if you can read it online.
Be.
I haven't...
Yeah, it might be.
Found that. Some people might have it in the... It might be in the newer versions of the Foundation for Inner Peace edition of the Course. It might be in some of those books, but it's a supplement that Helen Schuckman took down, I think, after the whole course came, right? It was after the fact. The Song of Prayer and Psychotherapy is the other supplement, too. So it may or may not be in your book, but I'll see if I can find it online.
Yeah. It discusses the entire gamut of prayer in this world, you know, everything from the, you know, forgive us for being poor sinners to, you know, oh, I'll pray for my enemies, you know, because I'm fine, but they're not. And, you know, but it also discusses, from the Course perspective, what true prayer is. It talks about prayer is the greatest gift with which God blessed his Son at his creation. It was then what it is to become, the single voice creator and creation share, the song the Son sings to the Father, who returns the thanks it offers him unto the Son. I mean, just, you know, very eloquently written. but it also, talks about the practical. To you who are in time, a little while, prayer takes the form that will best suit your need. You have but one. What God created one must realize or recognize its oneness and rejoice that what illusions seem to separate is one forever in the mind of God. Prayer now must be the means by which God's Son leaves separate goals and separate interests by and turns in holy gladness to the truth of union in his Father and himself. And, it's, I think, far too extensive to probably take several weeks to cover.
Yeah, I think that would be something that we'd have to read together in the group. But can I jump in?
Sure.
Something was coming to mind for me just about, an example of this, like, praying how we typically think of it in this world is like asking for a specific outcome. So whether it's for, that red Ford truck, or if it's for a specific outcome, like, oh, please let, so-and-so either not be sick or please, like, I just think of sickness because that was something that I've always, where my ego has preferred to put a lot of its fear, but, maybe asking for a particular symptom to go away in the body. So asking, it's any specific outcome. And what this is saying, and I think what the Song of Prayer is kind of touching on too, with like the true meaning of prayer, is that when we're asking for that specific outcome to happen. So let's say I have something, wrong with my body, and I'm praying and praying and praying that it'll go away. What I am doing is asking for, I'm identifying with being that body in the first place, and so I'm asking again for, I'm asking to stay that body. I'm asking to stay separate and to make the picture be how I want it to be. I'm not really asking for the experience of God, so, or of the Holy Spirit. So it's, in a way, by asking for that specific outcome, I'm limiting myself and keeping myself tied to this identity in this world rather than tapping into
that's absolutely
grandeur,
the perfect,
is what the book says.
That is the perfect answer to my question, because that's when I do that, that's when miracles happen.
Mm-hmm.
When I just realize I don't have a clue, I don't know. That's when all of the whatever the situation is, when I think I know, that blocks the miracle from occurring. This thing with my haircut, just honestly, it's just so amazing because it really has become a non-issue. I mean, if you could just compare the way I was thinking last week with the way I'm thinking this week, that's a total miracle. Because I really asked for the Holy Spirit's help knowing that I didn't know.
Right.
I just plain don't know. And I still don't really know. Whatever direction I'm led in with this, I'll go. And right now I'm feeling like, I'm just going to go tomorrow and maybe I'll go to another shop next time. But I'm just letting it be.
Yeah,
and that's really exactly what you're talking about, Corinne. Thank you.
Yeah, you're very welcome. And, I'll share another kind of extreme example of this, is that I have a friend who whose child is very, very sick. And, she and the family are just asking for prayers constantly, for him to be healed, and asking for a lot of help from people. And so my way of praying for this child is not the typical, like, please God heal him, like, please make him be better, but it's instead, if I'm seeing him as sick, that perception is in my mind, and that's what needs healing. So I'm asking to see him truly, to see him as he really is, which is not a body, which is not, limited to a small self, and I'm asking to see the truth, which is that he can't be sick. It's impossible. So if I'm seeing him as sick, I'm the one that's mistaken, and that's where I'm asking for the healing to take place, is in my mind. It kind of reminds me of, I loved learning about Dr. E. Haleakala Hugh Len. I don't know if anybody has heard of him before, but he is a Hawaiian healer, a Hawaiian doctor who it's called Ho'oponopono, and his technique is basically, I don't know if this is how he became well known, but he healed a whole psychiatric ward of his patients, and he never even met them. He did so by literally sitting in his office. He had their file in front of them, and he would go through this process of recognizing that what he's, you know, seeing in them is something in his mind. And he went through very specific language. It was, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you.
That's it.
And,
that's the
yeah,
entire
and that's what
it's, prayer.
It's, I love you, I'm willing to not see you as separate. I'm sorry for misperceiving you. Please forgive me. That's like that handing it over to the Holy Spirit. And then thank you, it's done. Like, you know, here you go. I handed it over. Thank you. And so that's how he healed. And the story is incredible, that it was a really, really awful place, not only for the patients, but for the staff. And not only were, you know, his patients healed, but the I think the whole hospital ended up getting shut down because they didn't need it anymore.
Wow.
There wasn't the need. So
can you repeat that, Karen?
The name?
What you say? No, what you say.
The steps.
Oh, the steps. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you.
Now, you also said, I love you,
mm-hmm.
because I like the way you defined that, though, because we are not separated. What did you say?
Mm-hmm.
How did you word that?
I don't remember. I think that's what I said. I love you.
Oh,
like, we... Yeah, we're not separate. We are one. I, you know, the truth in you is the same truth in me.
Okay, because that makes so much sense. I'm
sorry
for thinking that.
I'm sorry for misperceiving you, for seeing you as a body, for seeing you as separate.
I'm writing this down.
Me too.
Please forgive me.
Please forgive me is when you're taking all of it and giving it to the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
And then thank you. It's done. It is done.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
<It's done. laughs> Beautiful.
Thank you for that, Karen.
Yeah, you're very welcome. So that was just... Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. I have a question along those same lines, kind of. Like, when you're praying for somebody who you struggle to pray for, and this person has harmed you, and the way I take God when people harm me, I just pray for them. But a lot of times the words don't come, and I think this chapter, so it's so great to read, to hear that the words don't need to be there, is that the prayer just needs to be in my heart. But you know, I just sit there, and it's kind of like you just bring that person to mind and just keep them there and sit in silence, because I have no clue what to even ask for. I have no clue what to say, and that's the only thing that I can even think to do.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah, I think this chapter just explains that that's what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, is to see, and the fact that that just shows. You know, the fact that you're willing to just hold them in your mind, that shows, to me, I see that willingness there to be willing to see them differently.
Right.
And that little bit of willingness is just what the Course is asking. So, yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah. But it says in what we read in Manual for Teachers, it's about the third paragraph down, and it says only the Word of God has any meaning because it symbolizes that which has no human symbols at all. And the Word of God, you know, as its a continual thread that runs through the Course, is my son is innocent. And that's, you know, going back to the, you know, I love you, we are one. You know, I'm sorry, it's my perception, you know, as Corinne was saying. And, you know, the Word of God is... again, my son is innocent. It isn't anything on this level of form, and that's what's so hard, you know, to understand. And that's where the, you know, Song of Prayer covers the different types of forgiveness that actually are attacks instead of being, you know, true forgiveness. True forgiveness is only by us turning to the Holy Spirit to have our minds healed because of the illusions that, you know, we are carrying that we've made very real for us, you know, as the only way, you know, for this healing to occur. But it's so good to have those extra little steps, you know, those extra words.
Yeah, absolutely. I also thought, and I wish I could think of an example, because I know that I've had a couple of instances of this, but and maybe somebody else will have an example, but in the latter part of what we read, when it talks about that we gradually are learning how to let our words be chosen for us, so, you know, we're learning how to shut up, to let Spirit, you know, speak through us, and it says that we might then find ourselves in situations where we, you know, our egos would judge us as being kind of embarrassing. And I definitely have had little instances of that occur before. And if anybody else, you know, can think of an example of that, feel free to share. But that was just another thing that I liked in reading.
Yeah, it's not expanding on what's being brought up. My daughter and I work together, and sometimes we'll get into, you know, conversations about people, and rather than get into agreement or expand on, oh yeah, I don't like that about them or this about, you know, just not saying anything is. It's challenging, though, because sometimes, especially in that environment, it's there's a real temptation to get into it. So it's just not even using the words, just kind of letting it go as it comes up.
I think that's so important, Paula. I mean, that really is a foundational shift that the Course asks for. And that instead of, you know, sharing in the grievances, you know, the only one to share it with is the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, that you would have no thoughts. It's not that you're not going to have the thoughts, but there's no thoughts that you would keep and share, you know, to breed more of the, you know, grievances and add, you know, to the nightmare. Instead, you know, to bring it to the Holy Spirit and leave it with the Holy Spirit, you know, relieving yourself of that burden. And yeah, we slip, you know, I know I slip. I, you know, sometimes so little to talk about, it seems strange because, you know, we think of communication as this constant exchange and conversation, and then you realize how much of your conversation is just an opinion. And, you know, the opinions keep the world spinning.
Oh, yeah.
And thank you for that reminder, too, that it's not that we're not going to have, you know, perfect thoughts or anything like that. It's that we have none that we would keep. I know I shared last week about having, you know, a judgment, anger thought come up about a little old lady in her shopping cart when we, you know, kind of almost bumped into each other. And just earlier today, I was driving kind of a far distance in my car, and I don't remember exactly again what happened, but somebody got in front of me and slowed down a lot, something like that, and I immediately was like, you know, oh, jerk, and I immediately recognized, however, okay, you know, there it is again. I'm just giving that over to the Holy Spirit. I don't want to keep it because I don't want what it brings. So that's a nice reminder. It's not that we're not going to have them. It's that we don't keep them.
Yeah.
Corinne, I guess I was just going to share that I know a different meeting that I was at, one of the women shared that she would, you know, she got to the point that communication with the Holy Spirit, she went into the woods and she was just, you know, she was beside herself, you know, and that kind of like in that, you know, dark, dark hours, and she just shared it. She screamed and she let it all out, and it was wonderful. And I think you know, at first it seems like it's working. I would really have to work myself up to get to that point. But the truth of the matter is, I think it's the ability to just work on sharing everything, you know,
mm-hmm.
as if that was my friend sitting right beside me and say, hey, you know,
yeah.
what was going on? And that's what I hear tonight. But to consider, like, the Holy Spirit your friend. You guys may know Janet, and Janet would put it to me, like, she would say, okay, I say to the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit says to me, I don't know which way it goes, you know, let's come, sit on the bench, and we talk. And then, you know, she would say something funny afterwards. But it's so true. It's the last place at times that I would go, and yet I'm realizing that I need to make it part of every day, or everything that, you know, that as it flows past my mind. And it is helpful, like you were saying, that you know, here comes the judgment. Oh, I caught another one. You know, it's the practice. So I thank you, because it seems like it's super important, and yet it's so different from what I've known in the past.
Right. And I love how you said that about, like, the image of, like, you know, the Holy Spirit there, just like our friend would be. That's perfect, because that's exactly, like, the Holy Spirit is always there. I just, in a couple sections from now, it says that he is always here. And it's the one specifically talking about Jesus's special place, whether or not he has a special place in healing, but that you can think of it just as the Holy Spirit, too. The Holy Spirit is always there. And if we don't feel the Holy Spirit, or feel like we can't, you know, or feel like the Holy Spirit isn't there, it's simply because we've, you know, decided to look away and, you know, drop that veil of fear again and kind of go down the path of the ego. But the Holy Spirit is just like that good friend, that best friend who is always by our side. So I love that image. Thank you.
Thank you
for saying it that way.
Thank you.
That was perfect.
I think it's interesting, too, the part that we're never asking, you know, like when we see someone who we think has a great life style or has something, we're asking for the experience of that. We're not asking, like, that we be that person, you know, because, you know, you can always see the sort of, like, you know, dark side, you know, so we're asking for that kind of experience. And, you know, if we can ask for an experience and have it in this world and recognize that it, you know, doesn't satisfy, and, I mean, how many times, you know, does it come past us that, well, if only this would happen, then I'd be happy, and then this happens, and you're happy for a little while until the next, oh, if only this were different, or if only something else were going, you know, to happen or would change, then I'd be happy. So, you know, it's always seeking out an experience, and what we're trying to find is peace and happiness, and we keep going down all these dead-end roads, and, you know, it then occurs to me, like, well, it says, you know, ask for the peace of God. That's exactly, if you don't feel like you have the peace of God, ask for it. And, you know, but it's going to be a state of mind that is unfamiliar, because we are so used to what this world has to offer as substitutes.
Mm.
And so, you know, it's again that asking, and sometimes, you know, I can't recall a specific example. I have a notebook peppered with them. but it's sometimes, you know, like a day later, and it will strike me that, oh, that's what I asked for, and that's what I got.
Mm. Wow. And are you talking experiences of the world, or experiences
both?
Of, okay, both.
Both. Yeah, both. I mean, that's what the Course is saying. Go ahead, you know, go down that path. See if it, you know, brings you happiness. You've done it before. Finally, at some point, you'll start getting it that, you know, you've done this already. Wait a minute, you've done this already. You've said, oh, if only, only to find the, you know, if only, you know, had brackets around it and it didn't last. So now, you know, how about asking for an experience that, you know, will gently rock you to your core and, and you know, start waking you up.
I think it still goes back to the fact, though, that the Holy Spirit is in every moment of our lives. And it's really just, again, the willingness to turn to Him and say, get me out of this. Undo. He will undo all the consequences. And, you know, that's an amazing. That page 90 is the most powerful paragraph in the book, I think, because, you know, I must have decided wrongly. And again, I mean, we do that maybe 100 times a day. But the answer is always there. So we really can never get it wrong if we're willing to turn to the Holy Spirit.
That's right. That's right. And what I've been finding...
I do have a question there.
Sure.
And it's kind of funny because I guess I'm still identifying with who I think I am, Angela. Because I think, like, I can go ahead and act like a jerk, you know, and then, oh, I can say page 90 and get me out of it. So, I don't know. There still seems to be a conflict in my mind. Like, how do you
We don't think. I mean, that's how much God loves us. I mean, that's the amazing thing, that God loves us. He doesn't see any of this. And at any moment, we are totally absolved of all of the nonsense we thought we did, because in truth we haven't done anything wrong.
Right.
In truth, there's nothing wrong.
Okay.
In
but
any situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
We just don't believe it. We are the ones who judge ourselves so harshly.
Right.
And Angela,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say too. You made me think that, like, you know, the page 90, like, I must have decided wrongly. The Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of my decision if I will let Him. And, you know, yet you still, you know, want to go do whatever you want to do and then come back. What came forward for me is just, like, there's going to come a time when you're tired of that. when you're like, okay, you know, maybe I don't want to keep doing it my way or, you know, this way because it doesn't make me happy. But at the same time, you're absolutely right in that the Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences if we choose to let Him. And just by the fact that you keep going back to that, you know, that's huge.
Okay.
That you keep going back to that.
It's also the story of the prodigal son, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It sure is.
Well, the ego would say, you are here, you are here. And I think it's Spirit, I don't know whether this will make sense, but I think it's Spirit's job to say, I am not here. You know, it's all an illusion. And, you know, I thought it was interesting, too, Corinne, going back to what you talked about earlier, is that this is coming, and you talked about that someone was asking for prayers, and you asked for prayers, you ask for the correction where it always starts from your mind, and that's where you ask to see the truth, because what I believe I see out here is not, that's not the truth.
So do you have a, I don't know if I'm understanding the question. Is there a question in there or no? Just
No. I don't think there's a question. It's just realizing that where am I seeing? If I'm seeing
right,
this,
right.
Well, how can I use page 90? Because, you know, I can go out and act like a jerk, and then, you know, who's acting like a jerk? It's the ego. The ego doesn't exist.
Right,
you know?
Right.
I think that's just my point that I'm trying
right.
to say.
Yeah.
Okay. No wonder we can be forgiven, because I don't know whether anybody else has a comment on that, but I hope, I'm like, I don't know whether I was clear or not, that's all.
Yeah, yeah, definitely, definitely. And and yet, too, we don't really know that the ego doesn't exist, because we sure as heck believe this all seems very real. So that's where, you know, this whole process of just slowly turning to the Holy Spirit again and again and being given back that miracle, you know, that shift in perception, it's as if, you know, layers of fear are undone. It's not all going to just drop off at once because, you know, we're very much in the fear and used to it, but it's like peeling back layers. So it becomes a very, very gentle process of waking up, because we very much believe this is real. Or we wouldn't keep doing what we're doing.
Yeah, and that's what's so important too, with the, you know, meditations, also following what the lessons instruct, so that you actually do have time in the morning where you set the goal, you know, that you want peace, and take, you know, there's lessons that say every hour, and, you know, that it can be done if you want it done. I mean, if someone said to you, okay, you'll get $1 million at the end of the day if you think of $1 million every hour, well, heck, you'd be willing to do it every 10 minutes, and you probably would show up for that. We have to want God that much, and when we do, we will be constantly turning to the Holy Spirit. You know, even in lesson, let's see, 184, it says, thus what you need are intervals each day in which the learning of the world becomes a transitory phase, a prison house from which you go into the sunlight and forget the darkness. And so, you know, it's so important to establish a pattern during the day that, and it could just take a moment, but, you know, to just constantly be reminded that the Holy Spirit is there, because we do wander off so easily. And, that's part of our job, you know, is to start training. It does say the ego needs to be taught. And, you know, you start training it, because you're the one who's basically breathing life into it.
And I think you just hit something really important, too, with what you said about we have to want God as much. If we'd be willing to get $1 million if we needed, and, you know, by thinking about $1 million every hour, even just thinking about that, like, do we want God as much as we want $1 million? No. Like, no. Like, I mean, I think that that's such an easy thing to put it into perspective, how really we are unwilling. There's a part of us that is unwilling to heal. There's part of us that, you know, doesn't want God. And that is what we also have to look at with the Holy Spirit, is our unwillingness to heal. And I feel like that's just such a perfect example, because it's such a straightforward question. Would you rather have God or $1 million? I think most of us would probably say $1 million. So there's that unwillingness, and there's that love of our ego and what we have made here, and our unwillingness to let go of it.
But, you know, it's interesting, because this is what the ego would tell me. My ego would say that it's based on, and I know this isn't true, it's based on trust. And how much do I trust? Once again, I think it's based, I don't know whether that's true or not, do I trust that the Holy Spirit will be there for me? But I remember John talking about, my friend John talked about that, how would I say, it's once again, like you guys were saying tonight, it's the experience. We're asking for the experience. And by beginning to learn the experience, that's what seems to shift and change, that we're willing to, it's almost like going to a home base. I don't know whether that'll make sense, but touching home base and saying, Holy Spirit, are you there? Holy Spirit, are you there? And going back and forth until it becomes like just, it's a flowing kind of thing, like going there all the time.
And that's where the experiences come in, because once you start having experiences that can't be explained, they're, you know, beyond being a coincidence, those experiences are what start turning us towards, you know, the wanting God more, because the experiences are good. I mean, they could be little tiny ones, and yet when you've had one, you can feel how deep, how deeply profound it is, and yet it could be, you know, nothing that anybody else would even detect, but, you know, something's happened, something, you know, and you feel that shift, and, you know, we probably have all had those, but we so easily let those slip by.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely. So basically it's not really, we can't use the word trust so much, can we?
What do you mean?
In other words, that if you feel like it's, you know, that I would turn to the Holy Spirit because I trust that the Holy Spirit is there. Maybe I'm just getting caught up on words, and maybe I just have to say, okay, like what you just said, Susan, is when I've had the experience, then I know, okay, where am I going to go? I may think I want to go down the other road, but I know that now I have the experience. So I think I am just getting caught up on words. I didn't not to think about the words so much.
Mm-hmm. And keep asking, but also, you know, comes a point, I think I said this last week, where you can keep asking, but the Holy Spirit's not deaf. And so it's a matter of getting quiet. And again, that's our job, which is to still our minds and, you know, get them still enough that we can open a space and let the Holy Spirit, you know, come in. Because the Holy Spirit has an answer for us immediately. And, you know, if we're waiting weeks or, you know, months for the answer to come, it's because we're not listening. You know, we're just not willing to listen. And it's kind of, you know, like, well, I don't want to admit that, but, you know, I you know, think I'd rather have, I mean, there was a survey done, and I don't know how many people were involved, but they asked all these people if they could save the world from global warming by giving up their cell phones, would they? Mm-hmm. And 85% of them said no. So it's not even $1 million. It's a cell phone.
It's just a cell phone.
Yeah.
I also just wanted to say too, Angela, that, you know, whatever the word trust brings up in you, you know, definitely if that word, you don't find it helpful, use another one. But I'm just thinking too, where these experiences are leading us to the development of trust. You know, there's that section earlier in the Manual for Teachers that talks about the development of trust and how we go through these different periods of, you know, undoing, sorting out, relinquishment, and so everything is literally orchestrated for us to learn trust, for us to really come to know that we are never alone and that the Holy Spirit is that best friend right next to us all the time.
Thank you. That's very important.
Yeah, thank you. Wow, we've talked almost the whole time. So rather than with only having a few minutes left, we'll hold off on reading again until next week. But so gosh, what else is coming up for people? Anything, any questions or reflections with where we are at?
Yeah, during the week, write down anything that happens so we can share it next Wednesday.
Okay.
Good idea. I used to be very good about jotting things down in my journal, and I forget, and then I forget those little things that do happen. But anyway, I'm sorry. Was that you, Paula?
Yeah. What about this line? A major hindrance in this aspect of his learning is the teacher of God's fear about the validity of what he hears.
So if I am being guided to say something, if the words are coming to me, but then I stop and I think, well, I don't know if that's accurate, or I don't really know if that is, you know, a good thing to say. That's a hindrance in learning to let the Holy Spirit use me as that channel, you know, to speak through me. So my own doubts about what I'm internally hearing is going to prevent me from doing as I'm directed with, you know, speaking, whatever that truth is. Does that make sense?
Yes, but it does. Is that prefaced by, wait a minute. Like if I'm asking the Holy Spirit, what should I say in this situation?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it might be that you've said that first and then you question what you hear, or if you're not necessarily asking those words but have that, you know, focus in your heart of wanting to listen to the Holy Spirit and speak from that place, it might
That's
be that you still doubt what is coming up.
That's a great way of putting it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I missed that. Can you repeat that last part?
Of what I just said?
Yeah, just the last couple of sentences.
I'm so glad we record these calls because I have no idea what I just said. But I think I just said that if you're asking the Holy Spirit in words to say, you know, what would you have me say? There's the line in the Course, what would you have me say? Where would you have me? No, what would you have me do? Where would you have me go? What would you have me say and to whom? You might be saying that with words, and then a hindrance might be that you doubt that you hear, or you might just have that kind of prayer in your heart where you're not saying those words, but you're in your heart wanting to speak from truth, to speak from spirit. And the hindrance in that case would just be that you're then again still doubting what it is that you hear, rather than just trusting that that is what needs to be said and choosing to not.
Yeah, so it doesn't have to be all so logical. You know, I think the ego is so that voice of perfection or something.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, sometimes I think I'm not a person. I want to say a person. I have not been able to always. Most of the time, I can't seem to keep my mouth quiet. And I think for me, sometimes I need to step back and to just kind of like hold what I have to say. And I guess if it keeps coming up, then to be able to say what I have to say. And I liken that to that we probably have talked about it tonight, that if you have to go through something, you have to go through
mm-hmm.
something. If you really
right.
have to, you know what, I cannot hold this. I just have to let it go. Then I think that more so I'm beginning to do that now, because I think just holding it's only building resentment. And
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I was just going to say, and holding it too versus letting it go, remember that when we're letting it go, we're really giving it to the Holy Spirit. Like we're not stuffing it. We're not just saying, okay, I'm just going to let that go and forget about it and do what I was doing. We literally can take that. And, you know, if you want to say things, but you're deciding to maybe try something differently and not say them because you've said it before and, you know, over and over previously, say it to the Holy Spirit, to give it to the Holy Spirit if you know, you need to. So it's again, not about just letting it go into oblivion, but it's about, like, literally handing it over, you know, letting it go into the Holy Spirit's hands. Because that's where, again, there's that exchange, where when we give that to the Holy Spirit, that's when we get back, when we're, you know, asking, we're getting back that shift, that miracle instead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and kind of working on feeling at peace with that, just saying what
mm-hmm.
you have to say, you know, like, it goes back to the friend and saying, you know, whatever it is I have to say, you know, did you hear what I just heard? Like, can you believe this? And then what usually happens is, I don't know, this might be me trying to clean up the whole act, which can shoot the whole thing right down in the toilet, if you know what I mean. because then after I say, I feel like I'm judging myself for having the grievance, whatever grievance, instead of blurting it out or saying it to someone else out there. I'm saying it and then thinking, you know, I'm judging myself for saying what I had to say.
Right. So it's just another ego ploy to keep the ego strong. That if it's gonna, whether it's judging others or if it's judging yourself, it's still just the ego at work. So if you notice that self judgment come up, that's another thing to hand over to the Holy Spirit too.
Right.
Because the ego is insidious.
So what if you let something go? Okay, you hand something over, but you still got it.
You didn't let it go.
You didn't really let it go. You know, sometimes we need to go through what we need to go through. So maybe it is something that, you know, we're not ready to really let go of. So we just need to go down that path. The piece too that I like to think about too, that if we feel like we've handed something over, but then we keep taking it back, that is our unwillingness to heal, our wanting to take it back and like kind of keep mulling it over and, you know, like turning it around in our minds and thinking about it every which way. That is another ego form, you know, that's another thing the ego is doing, where it's our unwillingness to heal. It's our unwillingness to really want to let that painful situation go. So that then unwillingness becomes something to look at with the Holy Spirit and to hand over to the Holy Spirit. So there's like all these layers of willingness.
You know what? I think I might share that seems to be the new focus. The new focus for me then is like every time I see it again is to hand it over. And so I was thinking of something I listened to, and it was a conference call like this, and it was on a CD. And what I heard the man say, I constantly am taking what's going on and giving it to the Holy Spirit, and it's like it just becomes like a mantra, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Until
mm-hmm.
I get so tired that I get to the point that I'm like, okay, what do I want here? Do I want peace, or what? You know, or do I want chaos? You know,
mm-hmm.
and I sometimes can get to the point to say, okay, I want peace. So I will give this to the Holy Spirit and I will let go. I don't know, like I said, I'm not so much with the words, but I really, it's an experience to just say, okay, I think I'm tired enough. I think I've played with this toy enough. I'm done.
Right. We'll finally get tired of it. I like that.
Yep,
oh,
good.
Well, we are at the top of our hour, so thank you, everybody, again, so much for such rich discussion and for being here, and we'll pick up where we left off next week.
Great.
Thank
Have a great
luck.
Week.
Thank you.
Thank
good
you.
Good luck with
thank
your haircut,
you.
Paula.
Oh, good luck. Thank you so much. To be continued.
Okay.
Good
bye-bye.
Right.
Good night,
everyone.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Bye-bye.